Please listen carefully.
And now, live from the attic that smells like a basement in McKinney, Texas, it's the Assuming Positions Podcast, featuring two guys who know better and do it anyway, Kevin and Mikey.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Assuming Positions Podcast. Kevin over here.
And Mikey over here.
And today on the podcast, we continue our series called Head of the Apocalypse.
Apocalypse. It's the lighthearted apocalypse. It's just zombies.
Maybe robots. Maybe Fallout. Maybe Mad Max. I don't know. Water apocalypse. I'm not sure. Did they ever really even go into... Well, Mad Max was pretty much just like, it's the desert and stuff's bad now.
Yeah.
And there's water tanks that we want.
Yeah.
And that's all. The end.
I think it was usual nuclear disaster sort of. And now it's just desert life.
So that's kind of funny to me. It's kind of funny to me how different, what do you want to call them? Not genres, just different storylines, different themes, different things. Yeah. I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but some things are just like, here's what it is, no backstory, boom. And then some stuff is just like every nut and bolt on every single vehicle is cataloged and referenced. And it's just interesting to me.
I think it's just lazy people being like, all right, we've had 12 disaster movies. This is the 13th disaster movie. So, you know, I mean, things went bad, blah. Here we are, day one, let's go. You know, it's quick. Get to the point.
That's kind of like how Joss Whedon was with Firefly. Everyone wanted him to explain stuff, a lot of the stuff, and he was just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just because.
There's context clues. You'll pick it up. It's fine.
I don't know. I didn't think about that. That was a lot of his answer. I don't know. That's always the funny thing at like conventions when they'll have like the person there, the creator of something, and ask him like an extremely nerdy question, and they'll be like, I don't know. I didn't think about that. And then there's just like the deflation, the nerdflation.
Which I can appreciate. I enjoy when the details are there and you can do a deep dive on stuff and there's like a whole bunch of backstory and logic. I can appreciate all that. But I mean, everything you make, there's going to be questions of, oh, I didn't even consider that. Sure, the answer is this. It's zombies because bad plants. Mark Wahlberg, I don't know.
But yeah. Just if you want to look concerned, just act like you smell something funny.
Yeah, exactly.
Mark Wahlberg, School of Acting.
A solid tip.
Anyway, so Head of the Apocalypse. So, yes. So far, what have we done so far, Mikey?
We've picked two people so far because what we're doing is building a crew that we want with us in the bunker should we face whatever. But the two people we have picked so far are the military vet and the gang street member thug sort of underground person.
Yes, and we're pulling a lot of these tropes from Left 4 Dead, but also Walking Dead and just general post-apocalyptic stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Dystopian future genre.
Yeah. So today's choice is the kind of classic office worker, the person who you wouldn't think would survive the apocalypse, but has some kind of skills or something that leads them to be able to handle it.
Yeah.
So the office worker is what we're choosing today.
The suit and tie cubicle monkey. Yes.
Now, before we get to your first pick, Mikey.
Okay.
Let's just spoil this for anyone who's going to be anticipating. Did you pick anybody from The Office? Not our office we work at. I mean, yes, the show.
NBC's The Office. No, I did not. We did chat about this a little bit, but no, there's nobody on my list from The Office proper.
As well there shouldn't be, because that show is overrated.
It's the eternal nerd debate. I mean, we talk about Star Wars and how there's people who are like, only this Star Wars is good. And, you know, Star Wars is popular, so people are mad. The Office is super popular. Everywhere you go on the internet, there's an Office meme. There's an Office joke. Somebody's quoting from The Office. So,
yes, it generated a lot of memes. It was hitting at the time where memes were first kind of not first, but like really starting to get traction.
Yes.
So a lot, it was heavily memed. I think the meminess of it kind of outweighs the goodness of the show.
Yeah.
As I would say. And also too, I never got into it because it was a show That was on Thursday nights. And here's the nerdiest reason ever. Thursday nights is role-playing game night for me, and it has been for the past 20 years.
Oh, as it should be. Yeah. Hang out with your friends instead of watching TV, for sure.
Exactly. So pretty much every Thursday night show from 2000 till now, I have no idea.
But you've seen shows that are like The Office. So what you and I both don't like NBC's The Office, but we like things like The IT Crowd. We like things of that nature, Parks and Rec, you know, stuff like that. Sure. So,
The original British Office.
Or the original. I mean, you do have to be, I think you have to be British to truly get it, but still applies.
You do. Yeah, I think you do need to be British to truly get it. But if you're kind of a crazy, nerdy Anglophile, like a lot of us Dungeons and Dragons geeks are for some reason, because of the Monty Python and the Holy Grail entry point.
That's where medieval times come from.
Right. And for some reason, it seems to me like when you run in nerd circles, British comedy, British shows, they seem to be more viewed and appreciated in the nerdosphere Americans.
It's the underground cult stuff, yeah.
For some reason. So with all that background of watching all those shows, when you watch The British Office, I think you might get it a little more if you're a nerd.
I'm with you. I think Ricky Gervais is a little bit more divisive than Steve Carell, but...
Yeah, for sure. For sure. You kind of have to be a Ricky Gervais fan, too, which I am. I think he's delightfully curmudgeonly.
There you go. And I love Steve Carell and all he does, but I've never I've never sat down and watched The Office. I don't really.
You've never sat down and even watched it?
I've seen it on the internet. I've seen episodes on TV, but I've never made a deliberate effort to watch The Office. No.
Yeah.
If that takes a point away from my nerd card, I apologize. But
nah, I don't know. I think The Office. I think The Office is fine. If I think people like it, but to me, it's a lot like Big Bang Theory. It's like what people who want to be nerdy think they're supposed to like.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
It's an easy thing to jump in on. Oh, a lot of people think this is funny. I'll watch it. I dig it.
Because to me, Big Bang Theory is similar. It's super popular, but I think when you're like really nerdy, it's like, yeah, whatever.
That YouTube video ruined it for me. There's a YouTube video out there. It's Big Bang Theory without the laugh track.
Yeah.
And that laugh tracks, right? I couldn't go back. I was like, oh, it's true.
But they claim they do it in front of an audience, but I don't know. Anyway.
Cheers was filmed in front of a live studio audience. Go watch that. Cheers is way better.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I love it. So anyway, now that we're done, we're finally talking about something controversial. Are you happy, Scott? Anyway, so let's get to it. The Office Workers.
Yes.
So there's no one from The Office on this because we're not great fans of it. So don't be waiting for one of those to come up. And we already kind of discussed who in The Office might be good anyway. Maybe Dwight because he's weird and might be a prepper. And then you said some guy's name who I didn't even know it was. And you were like, it's the old guy
Creed.
Who has like a weird backstory that's revealed slowly or something. I don't know. But
he's one of those characters. You ask him like, how's your Tuesday? And he's like, well, I had a Tuesday back in Nam that was real dark.
Oh yeah.
This one is good. He's like, thanks for the information, guy. Okay. Bye.
Yeah.
So
Mikey, who's your number three choice for an office worker who you would want in the bunker with you in an apocalypse?
Apocalypse.
Silent H.
Because it's also ha, because we're taking it lighthearted. So
it's an honest apocalypse.
It is. I like it. But my number three pick is a great actor. It comes from a comic book movie. There is no apocalypse in this movie, but it's an office worker who realizes that he has more to do and he has better skills than sitting around punching a keyboard. But that's James McAvoy as Wesley Gibson in the movie Wanted.
Oh, I don't know any of those things you said. You have to tell me now.
Okay. So, Wanted is...
Well, I know what the words mean, but and put together, I don't know your time.
Well, speaking of the internet and memes, the thing you'll know Wanted is the movie where they curve bullets. Like, they shoot a gun, and the bullet, they're able to control the trajectory of the bullet so it curves around stuff. That was, like, the thing the movie was famous for that everybody remembered.
Really? What? Huh? Well, I don't even... not like the bullet time from The Matrix.
No, but close.
No, but it's close. Okay.
A step above that, they were able to control the bullet by just spinning their gun in a certain way and it would curve around and they'd hit their target every time.
Okay. And that is not how guns work.
No, not at all. But it worked, but that's how it works in this movie. Wanted is
hilarious.
Yeah. Wanted is essentially based on a graphic novel, and there's this a league of assassins. And there's a tapestry, spoiler alert, because you don't really find this out till the end of the movie, but go watch it either way. It's a fun time.
Take a drink.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous action movie, but there's this tapestry that it's coming from a divine source that says these people must be taken out to make sure history goes correctly.
That's cool.
Yeah, so sort of supernatural end times, dystopian future like we're talking about. But with that, in this tapestry, you get a list of names that people that are destined to be assassins, and James McAvoy in this movie is a office monkey. He's just an accountant that's sitting at a computer pushing buttons, but his name is in this tapestry, and he has to learn how to be an assassin. So they kidnap him and put him into this school and train him how to be super, super awesome in any situation. So number three pick for Apocalypse Team because he's a trained killer now.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a blind spot for me. I guess I should see that show. It's a movie.
It's a movie.
Yeah.
And wow. It's kind of over the top. Like, it's a comic book movie. So know that going in. But it's not a Marvel movie. It's not a DC movie. It's more like a Deadpool or a Dark City or a based on a graphic novel kind of thing. So
When did it come out?
2004.
Well, I shouldn't have missed it because I was pre-kids. So I don't know how I missed it. Okay.
Has Angelina Jolie in it, so there's a thumbs up for that. And you get to see assassins being really cool assassins. So,
cool.
And little Easter egg, there's a really good quitting scene when James McAvoy is leaving his cubicle and he's basically just, you know, says, screw everybody, I'm leaving, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
And he hits somebody with a keyboard, and the person that he hits with his keyboard is Chris Pratt.
Oh.
Of Guardians of the Galaxy, like pre-everything. This is one of
pre-everything.
Yeah, this is one of Chris Pratt's earliest roles, and you're like, I know that guy. Oh, that's funny.
That's funny. Oh, awesome. That's a really solid third pick. Jeez, Louise, are the next two?
I know. It was third pick because he's kind of superhero-ish. Like, he's almost...
Oh, yeah, I guess.
It's divine supernatural, so I felt like that was a little bit cheating.
Yeah. All right, well, my number three pick is, this is especially for Scooter. This is for you, Scooter, because when I think of an office, I think of the IT crowd.
Yes.
Uh-oh. Now, I've picked almost too many people from the IT crowd, and those nerds wouldn't do well in an apocalypse anyway. Maybe Moss. I don't know. He might be able to do something, you know.
I think they would survive inadvertently in an apocalypse, not by their own actions, right. But they would just happen to be there.
Right. And Jen would be useless. She wouldn't want to get dirty. But this guy would probably be good in apocalypse, but also terrible too. But I'm also doing the Mikey thing where I just want this guy around. And I'm picking Douglas Renholm, the boss from the IT crowd, played by Matt Berry, because Matt Berry's awesome. And I can't pick the vampire version of him because he doesn't work in an office. Or the pig prince version of him. I don't care. I just want to hear Matt Berry just say things, anything, words. His booming voice is great. Oh, my goodness.
To have him around in the end times would be just like he'd make you feel better. Just be like, hey, say something about the situation we're in. And he's like, well, it kind of sucks, but here we are. It's like, all right, thanks, Matt Berry.
I know. So Douglas Renholm is the second boss in the IT crowd. He shows up in the second season, I believe. In the first season, his father jumps out a window.
Yeah.
And then he's been missing for 7 years, apparently. And then he shows up at the funeral of his father to take over the business. So he's basically a useless millionaire playboy, inherited everything. The writers of the IT crowd were using him to skewer all the rich playboys that are in the world, all the daddy's money, all the captains of industry who don't deserve it because they didn't work hard for it.
Yep.
So there's shades of all. Think of the, if you can think of the famous playboys and businesses, captains of industry who inherited everything, then that's who they're making fun of. So
yeah,
he's a arrogant, pompous egomaniac. He really doesn't have the entertainment value is the only thing. that it is. I mean, but it's hilarious. That show is out of control, and he's one of the MVPs in my mind. When that as good as the early seasons were, once he showed up, it took that show to 11.
Oh, I believe
it. I mean, it was perfect. So the thing is, though, over time, as the seasons go on, he actually does have a little character development, and yeah. Mm-hmm. he does get a little less jerky, mainly because of horrible things and failures that his lifestyle led to. But I mean, he does a few, like, you know, like he helps Mossad with his confidence by giving him his secret. Remember what his secret to confidence was?
I don't remember the secret. I remember, like, I know the situation you're talking about, but I don't remember.
Ladies trousers.
Oh, that is right. And there's another episode where he wears like fancy boots. I mean, like that he does.
Yeah.
That's him. That's totally him. I get it. Ladies trousers.
But the one thing that really kind of actually pushed it over to the top for this pick is I'm doing research for figuring out what office worker I want to put.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was on Fandom or if it was on TV Tropes. I think it might have been. It was on some wiki for IT Crowd. It actually had a section that said abilities. And I'm like, abilities? And it only had one ability under it. And it said fighting ability. And then it talks about how for a while he has a girlfriend named April Shepherd.
Yep.
Who tells her that I used to be a man. But he thought she said, I'm from Iran.
That is right. Yeah. It's a miscommunication. Yeah.
So he didn't, because he wasn't paying attention. That was because he doesn't pay attention. He's sitting there having dinner and she's saying things to him and he's not paying any attention because that's the kind of arrogant bastard he is. So, but basically, well, once he figures it out and he thinks it's okay, but then it's not okay with him. And then they get into a fist fight with each other because she's upset.
Uh-huh.
And they have this crazy fist fight in this laboratory that for some reason there's a chemistry lab in the middle of Rental Ministries.
That's right.
And they get into an insane, I mean, it's like Jackie Chan crazy.
For a British comedy sitcom, show. Totally out of place. Oh, ridiculous.
And it all leads to he ends up throwing her through a window and then she crushes the internet. If you remember, that was the whole thing.
Yes.
Where they had Moss
breaks the internet, I think is what it's called.
They made a box with a little blinky light on the top and they told Jen that was the internet. anyway,
but that, so ridiculous. That's his fighting power, is that he can throw people through windows.
Yeah. Well, it's just a crazy brawl. He was suffering like injuries and wounds and he had a flask smashed over his head and it was just, he just kept going.
I get
so
you.
There you go. If you're looking someone to fight zombies with, there you go. Just don't give him a gun because he had that service pistol that he shot himself with. But anyway.
Okay, so that's the caveat. He doesn't get a weapon, but he is the type you need at the end of the world when he's sort of that delusional, like, things are good. I'm doing all the right decisions. You kind of need that person around.
True. Yeah. It is true. He was part of Spaceology, which was positive wishy thinking or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yeah. See? Spaceology. Well, that's great.
Oh. So anyway, that's the number three pit. That's for you, Scooter.
Because we mentioned the IT crowd too much or because he loves the IT
yes,
crowd?
Yes, that's one of our most active people on our social meters is a guy who goes by the handle Scooter Shabazz.
Yep.
And you can tell he playfully ribs us. And one of the things he often says is, why don't you just do a podcast about the IT crowd?
Or, Scooter, why don't you do yourself a favor and watch the IT crowd? Then we're all on the same page because, well, it's greatness. Better than watching NBC's The Office. Ooh, shots fired.
Man, yeah. If we're looking for controversy, there we go.
IT crowd is supreme. I love it. That's a great third pick. Absolutely. Matt Berry, just to have Matt Berry himself around, vampire, office worker, boss, whatever, would be a great time.
Yes. I don't know where that voice came from. It's crazy. Is everyone in his like town sound like that? Is there a part of England that's like everyone sounds like that?
He started doing it in like fifth grade theater and the teacher never said no. And he's like, this is how I'm going to talk for the rest of my life. Ha ha, Matt Berry. Projection.
I know.
Oh, it's great. But that's why they hire Matt Berry. I will watch him in anything.
Yes.
So now that means we're on to number two, right? Second pick.
Yes, number two picks.
Okay, here we go. Mine. This is a silly one for me. Kind of like a Matt Berry. It's an everyman that most people tend to like, but it's Tom Hanks specifically from Joe versus the Volcano.
I got a brain cloud.
He does have a brain cloud. So that's the weird twist in this movie. So I don't know where we start. But Joe versus the Volcano is late 80s, early 90s screwball comedy. It's almost, we're talking Monty Python, Terry Gilliam. It's kind of that same vibe.
Yes, it's so, that I think in the Tom Hanks catalog, man, he's done so much good stuff
yes.
that it gets lost in it. But that movie is good. A lot of people think it's one of Tom Hanks' bad movies. No, it's not.
It really isn't.
No, it's not.
And it also seems to be one of those things, like, it is a Tom Hanks movie, but you've either never heard of it, or if you yeah. know it, you love it. Like, I haven't met a Joe versus the Volcano fan that's seen it. It's like, not really for me, but maybe those people aren't too loud. I don't know. But I'm with you. It's a great movie, and Tom Hanks in this movie, I don't think even has a name. It's just Joe. You know, he's Joe versus the Volcano. But the opening scene shows him walking into his cubicle farm, like generic industrial underground, like this is your 9-to-5 for the rest of your life. The song Company Store 16 Stone is playing in the background to let you know that you owe your soul to the company store.
Yeah.
It's incredibly dark, but you're like, this is what he does every day. And then he finds out his apocalypse. This is the reason I thought of him. His apocalypse is actually just the terminal disease you were talking about, the brain cloud.
Uh-huh.
They don't really give much of an explanation for it. He's fine and healthy. He just has this thing that's going to kill him in 6 months. So he's like, oh, crap, I guess this is it. Until an eccentric, you know, multi-billionaire interjects in his life. And he'd be like, I need you to go jump in a volcano to save the world. And he's like, I'm going to die anyway. Might as well. And then, you know.
Such a weird premise.
But that's 90s screwball comedy. It's like, here's our setup and away we go. That's it. That's Tom Hanks. He gets the call to save the world. And he's like, let's do it. Let's go. I'm going to go jump in this volcano and endure all the wacky hijinks that ensue from point A to point B.
And you get to have that awesome Tom Hanks yell. Guys, there's zombies over
there. Yeah, the gibberish. Absolutely. And he's floating on his luggage, and there's Orange Crush. There's so many weird sense memories that I have with this movie.
Yeah, wow. Man, I'm pretty sure, I'm trying to think. I really don't think I've seen that movie more than the one time, and I think I saw it in the theater, but I can remember mm-hmm. so many details from it. And usually you see a movie once and I don't remember. I saw that movie and that's all you get. Oh, I remember seeing that movie and then that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know that the goodness is there, even though I haven't seen it again. We don't even need to do a reassumption on it because I know I like it because I can remember. I remember all that stuff. I remember the brain cloud. I remember.
Yep.
I've been on board with Tom Hanks. Oh, multi-Oscar winner. Who doesn't like?
What a hot take.
What a hot take. But I just want to. I'm not trying to brag or I don't know what do you want to call it. But mm-hmm. I'm just saying that when Big came out, the movie Big, mm-hmm. I was old enough to ride my bike to the theater and see it and see movies.
Awesome.
So and that's what I was doing. And Big was like the only movie that was playing there all summer because it wasn't back then. It wasn't like it used to. I mean, they would a movie would dig in.
Yeah.
And be there for like months.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't like now where it's like there for a month and then gone unless it's doing really well and they keep it.
And then at most you had 4 screens, maybe 8 screens, but it was those movies per month.
I think it might have been a 3-plex. I can't remember. It was at max it was a 4-plex.
Okay.
But I remember I saw Big so many times because it's the one that I could get into it because it was PG.
Yep.
And the other ones were, who knows what else was playing there. There's probably a horror movie I didn't want to see. And there's probably some like adults movie, not yeah. like, an, you know what I'm saying?
An adult contemporary drama, like Tears of a Clown.
Something. Yeah, something like that. So I saw Big like over and over and over again. And Tom Hanks is so Tom Hanksy and so endearing and Big
yep.
that I just became an eternal Tom Hanks fan back then. And I guess I put my money on the right roulette spot as far as some, because, you know, he went on. He's a legend now.
Oh, absolutely a legend. So. And so that's why he's picking him for my apocalypse team, because how can Tom Hanks fail? You know, I don't think there's a movie where Tom Hanks fails. So
I don't think so. Even in Saving Private Ryan, he dies, but he doesn't fail. See? He saved Private Ryan.
Tom Hanks can do no wrong, so he's on my team. But really, this is just a call to get more people to go watch Joe versus the Volcano. You're doing yourself a favor. That movie's great.
Yes, it is. I need to watch it again, for sure.
I think it's a family appropriate, too. So you might throw your boys for a loop. Be like, here's some weird brain images you can have now. Brain cloud and Orange Crush and blah.
Here's young Tom Hanks doing weird things. All right. So that's your number two pick. My number two pick is from a far superior show about an office in the town of Pawnee, Indiana.
Pawnee? I know that place.
I picked, for my number two pick, emo girl named April Ludgate. First of all, I know Parks and Rec was done by some of the people who did The Office, right?
Yes.
So this is your sophomore album being better than your freshman album.
Doesn't happen often, but I agree with you. It happened in this instance.
Yes. This is, as I know people love The Office. We just talked about it. And Mikey and I aren't the biggest fans of it. But the Parks and Rec is, it's finely honed. It's better. it's much better, I think. I think the show is so much better, so much fun. I've watched episodes more than once, and I usually don't do that with TV shows.
I got you.
But the thing about April is that she has this... it's the crazy eyes. It's the crazy eyes. So Aubrey Plaza is not... We've talked about this before.
Yes.
That the characters in Parks and Rec are not too far off from the people who play them, which is part of the genius of that show, I think, and the casting.
Yeah.
So Aubrey Plaza, if you've ever seen her on all her appearances on the Conan O'Brien show, she's a delightfully weird. And she's very art school girl for a couple of guys who went to art school.
Yep. Kind of awkward, kind of quiet, kind of mean. Yeah.
Yeah. And April Ludgate is that turned up to 11. April Ludgate, you could take that character and put it in a Tim Burton movie and it would fit perfectly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. She's Wednesday Addams in college aged, basically. You know?
That's absolutely true. Yeah. I could see her burning down her Girl Scout camp. Absolutely. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, she's fascinated with the dark side and stuff. And it's one of those, the funny twist and the funny play is that you never know if she's serious. Never. It's like, is she seriously? Wait, you're just joking that you are at, like, because everyone else in that show is so goofy.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll talk about, like, being at some kind of, like, crazy dark ritual or something. And everyone will be like, you're hilarious, April. And she'll have this look on her face that you'll be like, I think she was really it.
Yeah, she does the take to the camera where she's like, they're all laughing at me, but it's true. Yeah.
I know. But it's just... I just think she could handle herself in this in any situation. It would be dark and scary, and mm-hmm. she'd have no problem chopping zombies' heads off and double tapping, and she could go dark quick. And
she could handle the morbid reality she finds herself in. Absolutely, yeah.
Is absolutely 100%. So she moved down to my number two pick because my number one pick I think is more appropriate for it. But and also too, as dark as she is. She is super loyal to her friends and stuff. I mean, she'll fight for her friends tooth and nail. And that's who you want in a bunker with you. So even though she might be depressing and scary and kind of dark, when she loves someone, she loves them so hard. It's like, it's almost like what our buddy Tom Segura has said, you know,
yep.
I love you so much. I want to throw you up against throw you through that wall or whatever he said. Right.
But he's also standing up. Tom Segura is a big fan of people that are ride or die. And April Ludgate is absolutely ride or die. Yes. For sure. Yeah. I'm with
100% ride or die. So might be kind of scary sometimes to have around, but at the same time, as long as you know she's on your side, you're all good.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. That's part of the charm of Parks and Rec. They write about people that are kind of like the characters that they're playing a little bit, but they also write a lot of heart into their characters. And for as much as April Ludgate is that dark person, she's always there for Ron. She's always there for her husband, Andy, you know, Chris mm-hmm. Pratt. But if they need something done, she's always there. She always makes it happen for sure. Yeah.
Yep. So that's my choice. That's the funny thing, too, in that show. They had her. She was always trying to figure out what she wanted to do with her life was part of the thing.
Yep.
But I guess she just didn't have any artistic talent or anything because she seemed like she should be going to an art school.
Yeah. And putting weird paint on canvas and being like, this is my art. Don't you get it?
Taking creepy photographs. Something like that.
Yeah, that is definitely the type. But she was more than that. She figured out what she had to do in her life, and it turned out to be helping people. Oh, what a twist.
Oh, what a twist. It was actually, I think the thing was, is like telling people what to do. Or it was like telling people that they're wrong and what to do. Something like that. Yeah. It was something, they twisted it into a fun April way of helping people.
You're helping, but also you get to yell at people. It's like, oh, I'm on board. I love it. Yeah. Why not? Yeah, absolutely. But speaking of Parks and Rec, and because of our pre-show a little bit, we always chat a little bit. This is, we're now, it's happening, I think, for the first time ever. But we are on to number one picks. And our number one picks are...
Who's your number one pick, Mikey?
I think they're the same. My number one pick is Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec, the show we were just talking about.
Really?
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, and it is. And so is mine.
And so is yours.
We've never matched picks before. We actually have on purpose tried to avoid picks before, but in this case, we could not.
We could not.
Because there is only, in the minds of the crew at the Assuming Physicians podcast, there's only one choice for an office worker
Absolutely.
Who is going to be helpful in an apocalypse in your bunker, and that is Ron Swanson.
Ron Swanson.
Parks and Rec.
Mustache and all.
Yes.
And yes, we have different realms of references that we're pulling from, but the fact that we agree just solidifies this pick even more, because what is there that Ron Swanson cannot do? He has a permit that has his name on it that says, I'm Ron Swanson, I can do what I want. You know? So you absolutely need him and that piece of paper in the apocalypse. He pulls out a tooth in a meeting, you know? Yes, it's for a joke, but it also, they believe it because he's Ron Swanson. He has a bug out bag that's ready to go in case his ex-wife show up. It's he's perfect for the apocalypse. He has a plan for everything, and he can get the job done. Yeah, Ron Swanson all the way.
Then I should have talked about it more with April, because sometimes we'll give a background on what's going on in the show. But we were sitting here. We love it so much. We assume everyone knows what Parks and Recreation is. But
true.
Parks and Rec is was that an NBC show as well?
Yes.
Is a show literally about a Parks and Recreation Department in Pawnee, Indiana, which is a fictional place.
Mm-hmm.
And the head of the Parks and Recreation Department is Ron Swanson, even though the story basically focuses on Leslie Knope, who's the assistant director, I think, when the show starts.
Yeah, that's where she starts out. Yep.
Yeah. And of course, Amy Poehler plays Leslie Knope, and she is the main character of the show. But it quickly turns into an ensemble cast.
Absolutely.
As the seasons roll on. So
that is the one caveat, since you brought it up. Every time I bring up Parks and Rec, you have to mention skip season one. Just start at season two when the ensemble comes into full swing.
Yeah, right. With you. Yes. Yeah. Well, season one, they still had the office stink on them. That's why I wasn't.
So watch season two. Start from there. When Amy Poehler, yes. Ron Swanson, everybody comes out. Oh, wonderful.
Right. It's that simple. Shenanigans ensue. Is the whole show, everything is just a little left of center. It's just, it's almost how like Springfield is in The Simpsons, but not a cartoon.
Yeah.
So they can't go as far as a cartoon can go. But to me, the show seems to have a similar kind of like, this fictional place is wacky and we're going to show you why and how people play into it and all that kind of stuff.
There's always weird things going wrong every week, and this team has to fix it. It's like, what? There's a little horse, or we have to go perform on a stage in a hockey rink? Like, what?
Yeah, so when we were talking about this, I was like, I have to, for an office worker in the apocalypse, I have to pick Ron Swanson. And Mikey's like, I have to pick Ron Swanson. We had to do it. There's nobody better. And part of it is also like so many of our picks, like the Matt Berry pick and all these other picks, that you just want Nick Offerman around too in an apocalypse.
Even if it's just him in real life. Because
yes.
Him in real life, he has a wood shop. I mean, he fabricates anything you want him to. It's just Nick Offerman is the real deal.
For sure. I mean, and that's part of what we had talked about just a few minutes ago, was that the casting of this show, the character of Ron Swanson is an exaggerated, turned up to 11 version of Nick Offerman. And it's pretty much that way for everybody in the show. So that's part of the brilliance of it, is in the casting. And part of the brilliance of the writers is that they were smart enough to see that and play with that and use that and bring in things that Nick Offerman actually does. Because there's so many things that Ron Swanson, his woodworking stuff, that is actually just Nick Offerman stuff. Like, there's an episode where he makes a chair.
Yep.
That's Nick Offerman's chair.
Yeah.
There's an episode where he's, like, making a canoe paddle. That's Nick Offerman's canoe paddle.
Which you can use in the apocalypse. Oh, wonderful.
Right, I know. So, what we got with Ron Swanson over here? Let me see what I got in some of my notes.
There you go.
So, part of the awesomeness is his middle name is Ulysses.
Old school, yes.
Like, well, yeah, old school, one of our greatest generals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really funny. The character is really funny because he's a staunch libertarian, but he works in the government. He works in the Parks and Recreation Department. And when he asked why, he says he's there to rot the beast from the inside.
Yes. He's getting to know his enemy. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really... And there's so many quirky things. Like you said, like the note that says, like, I can do whatever I want. And then doesn't he have like a thing in his wallet for, like, only the man who kills him will understand what it says?
Yeah.
Or something.
He has contingencies for everything, and, like, for as much as he's against government and paperwork, he has his permits and he follows all the rules, but he does so at the bare minimum so he can continue being Ron Swanson.
Right, and they allude to that he has, like, a booby-trapped cabin out in the woods somewhere. It's all booby-trapped. And then they also allude to the fact that he has a large amount of gold buried somewhere in Pawnee. So, I mean, this is the stuff you need in an apocalypse.
Absolutely.
A booby-trapped cabin,
yep,
right?
Yep.
A cache of gold.
Absolutely.
He's a capable hunter. There's a whole... And fisherman. Hunter, fisherman. He's the ultimate woodsman.
Mm-hmm.
He is the brawny guy.
From the packaging. Absolutely, yeah. I don't know if he ever wears a plaid button-down, but I know for sure he has an axe, so yes.
Yes, yes. You can do no better as far as some guy who works in an office who you hit an apocalypse and you need someone to help you out. I don't see how you can do any better.
Especially, like we were saying, there's so many random occurrences in Pawnee that happen. Yes, they are sort of whimsical and shenanigans, but if we're talking, you know, what could go wrong in an apocalypse, it could be everything. But Ron Swanson has an answer for it all. I love it. And he doesn't like being tracked. He knows how to cover his tracks. He throws his computer in the dumpster when he... He's like, how does the computer know what I'm thinking? Okay, this is going in the trash.
And I mean, hey, you want to talk about memes. I think Parks and Rec has some of the bestest.
I agree.
And that's one of them. That's one of them. The dumpster in the trash, one of them.
Yeah.
There's just so many that, like, they're all flooding in my head. Just Google Parks and Rec memes and you'll see all the greatness
that's
there. But I love that throwing in the dumpster. But he knows how to do so much stuff that I value so much. Like, they are going to have that barbecue or whatever, and he shows up with a live pig. And he's like, this is what we're... I think that's where the I can do what I want thing. I think that's that episode.
Where same scene.
Yeah, the guy shows up, and he's like, you can't butcher and cook a pig here. And he's like... He pulls, I have a permit right here. And he hands him the permit, and it says, this says, I'm Ron Swanson. I can do what I want.
And it's true. But the crazy thing is that the sentence, I can do what I want, involves the entire process of a barbecue, which means wrangling an animal, bringing it there, slaughtering it, butchering it up, you know, serving it to people. He knows he knows the whole process. What can't he do?
Nothing. Like, and just, he can do everything. It's amazing. He also has a giant stash of scotch, so that's always helpful in an apocalypse.
A little bit of booze. I like it. Yes. Doesn't he also go, isn't there, like, he goes to where scotch is made. He goes to Scotland as a reward because he's all about the traditional old school, like, where it comes from in the earth. And so they send him on. It's like, oh, you're going to Scotland. And that's the happiest you ever see Ron Swanson in that show.
Yes, it's 16-year-old Lagavulin single malt scotch.
That sounds like apocalypse scotch to me. I'll take a sip.
Man, I want to go get some now.
And hang out with Ron Swanson or Nick Offerman, either one.
Either one. Yeah, that's the Nick Offerman himself is a lot more quote unquote fun.
Yes.
Than Ron Swanson. Because, I mean, he's an actor and he's a comedic performer and all these kind of things. Ron Swanson's very serious, but in an apocalypse, he's exactly who you want in the bunker with you.
Absolutely. A little curmudgeon-y, but that's what makes it work.
And I know I had double Parks and Rec picks, but I once had three Wonder Years picks in a row. But it, but the, and the thing is, too, is one of the reasons why April is a good pick is because she's kind of apprenticed to Ron Swanson through a lot of Parks and Rec.
If you could, so, if you could have the double team of them both in your crew, oh, you'd be nigh unstoppable.
That'd
be,
yes, those are both you're correct. I think you would be unstoppable. And that's a good meme, too. That's one of my favorites, is when he's at Whole Foods with the fake bacon.
Yeah.
The fake bacon. And he's like, would you like some? And he's like, yes, I would. And then he throws it right in the trash. And then he's like, another. And he keeps throwing the trash. And then the guy's like, I don't think I can give you any more. And then April's like, I want some. And then she throws in the trash. Look at each other. It's the sweetest thing. Oh. It's so funny. It's like sweet bonding through this total jerk whole move.
Oh, absolutely.
I love it. I love it.
Bucking the system with a smile. It's great.
Bucking the system with a smile.
He's allowed to take that fake bacon and do whatever he wants with it. And he chooses to, him and April, choose it to throw it in the trash.
Hilarious. I like that. Can we make that part of the podcast?
Sure.
Positivity. Bucking the system with a smile?
Yes. Positivity punches. Pow, pow. I don't know.
Positivity punches. Man, you're on a roll. Write all this stuff down.
It's Ron Swanson's fault. We're talking about a crew that's going to help us out. They're inspiring me.
Yeah. He makes you better. He's inspiring. It's great.
That's why he's number one. That's why we share the pick.
We're fine as long as no Tammy zombies show up.
Yes. Even then, though, it really just makes him move faster and lose part of his mustache. But other than that, he still manages to survive.
Rubbed off from friction.
That's one of the classics. Another meme, but, oh, man, what a great line.
Oh, so the long and the short of this Head of the Apocalypse podcast for the office worker today is watch Parks and Rec.
Yes.
Don't bother with The Office.
Nope.
Sprinkle in a little IT crowd and go watch Joe versus the Volcano.
That's it. And you will have a better weekend, whether you're working in an office or not. Your mood will be improved.
Yes, it will. So those are our picks for office worker for Head of the Apocalypse.
Apocalypse.
Mikey, what's on the list for next week, Mikey? Do you have it?
I do. On the list for next week, it's kind of a little bit of an overlap, but there's going to be some advantages. It'll be an interesting twist, but we have the nerd. So they don't have to work in the office, but they have to be smart. They have to be crafty.
Yes, the nerd. So we're going to pick the nerd. And I don't think there's going to be an IT crowd pick for me because I think I've blown them both already.
You've used up all the characters.
Yeah, I've used all my nerd characters from the IT crowd. You're welcome, Scooter.
But useful nerd. It's an interesting thought. Who's it going to be? Who's the most useful and also wears glasses and might have an allergy problem?
Yes. Shaking up his inhaler.
Oh, Sean Astin. I'm already there. You got me brainstorming.
Yeah, this is a brainstorm. There's tons of them out there. So our pizza is here. Is your pizza there? My pizza's here.
Delivered by a pizzeria cubicle worker. I don't know if he has a cubicle, but he's definitely the office worker. But he brings me pizza, so he gets to be on my crew, too.
Okay. The pizza man is always on our crew. So that means it's the end of the podcast. We want to thank you guys so much for listening. Please, if you guys want to get mentioned on the podcast like Scooter, hit on those social medias and talk to us, and we'll talk back to you through the microphones. You can hit us up on all the socials, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at AssumingPod. You can also send us Gmail, assumingpositions@gmail.com. We want to thank you guys so much for listening, the pizza man for bringing our pizza, Not Scott Production for equipment, that guy Brad for doing our announcing, and Jazzar for our music. We hope you guys have a good week in whatever office you're in. Just remember to keep it fun and light, and if you really have a problem with someone, while they walk away, you can hold scissors in your hand and make crazy eyes to the camera.
Or throw out fake bacon, just whatever positivity punches you need, get away with them. Hooray!
you'd think, so she's a, Anna from, hello, yep. Shop, 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 pop, 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 pop,
Pawnee, Indiana.
Okay, the internet is connected now.
Correct. Coming in loud and clear.